you want me again, because I thought after search and description, I'd like to take some questions and answer some more. What was we get today on the soil ordinance? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy and faith for the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for all the glory and peace we have with God. Pray that you find the blessings. Guide us through the cross and the blood of our lives. In the name of the prayer, the journey, the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father.
There's some questions that people have. Now, you may even not be answered, but it's a question you prefer people to raise out of your actions. You can always email me the questions as well. That's the question you need to be answered out of order. You have a box, probably about 3 or 4 of you all this.
Yes, sir.
Some people are interested.
I don't have so many email addresses.
I have questions.
Busybody, because they're not viable, but they're viable.
that worked out, we spent the first day, something like that. God is getting what to do.
You're going to do something to me.
Sometimes it's probably in the context, I mean, nowadays, I can understand this a lot more, but in this period, did they have global welfare?
Well, not necessarily, but you would have people who would have a living seat off, hang out at the temple, and they go, you know, the money to put on the camp. We have people that stay on the side of the freeway, just to go, you know, to the hotel, God bless you. There's nothing more to say.
Yeah.
Right. Now, they may not have had a national level, but a function of the church, you know, at that time, the synagogue, would be to provide provision for the poor.
Mm-hmm.
So we let that, people would take advantage of it. And now, this, hey, you know, you're supposed to make provision for me, so make provision for me. And so, plus people just, you know, if, when you don't work, you're going to do something on fire. Just the nature of the case. In those days, most people would not be the classical modern day even though some would in a sense. Just sit around watching for a long time. Sit at home and ask the wife and kids to give them a beer or whatever it is, right? There's nothing wrong with some. Those things would still occur. So they get involved with other people's lives. Busy life. What else would Mr. Paul say is the reason you need to work? Give me an example. Because if your kids see that you are not working and you refuse to work, what is the chances of them following your footsteps? Chances are they're going to do what they see and definitely want. Right? And so we're going to follow too. So we've got to be aware of that. And notice that Paul, he says that implies in verses 7 through 9 that he actually had a legitimate reason for not quote unquote work. He was a minister of the gospel as a passage that if you are sort of working in the work of the gospel, you want to live off the gospel. But he's saying, we can go that route. But we need to be able to do that working for the gospel.
Thank you.
the mind of the workers when you're dealing with, when they look at the provision for those who don't work. And they don't make it fair. And what is the implication?
You guys done just.
Typically, I've done just. With another.
They deserve more.
Okay, because I work, I deserve more. That's definitely stated in that. If I'm going to get the same amount as someone who refuses to work.
Well, it's not even worse than that.
They didn't work much. They did hardly anything. They did the same amount that I did. So what is an implication?
Why should they work?
The employer is unfair. Why should I bother working? If I just show up and work an hour and I get the same amount of money as the guy that worked 8 hours, why don't I just show up for an hour?
They all think the same thing. Right. I mean, I know they even grumble with it.
Yeah, I just think that hourly rate is higher.
Absolutely.
So it wasn't like, you know, great, I have a job and I'm so telling you to get you some less salary. You have to call me for your first salary.
Right, but I mean, the attitude of the people at work all day was, this is completely unfair. Which can lead to the implication, well, why should I bother working the long hours if I get the same amount of payment, not on an hourly basis, but total payment as the guy who just shows up for a rollback? That's not sure for a rollback, because absolutely that makes sense. Someone else could take care of it. What for the work that needs to be done? And so that mindset triggers in. I have a sister-in-law who went to work for the government for a while, and the people that she worked with were just getting very upset with her. Because she is actually working, and it was putting them in a bad mind. What God has apportioned you. That's what God has given you, and you recognize it as whatever you receive by the work of your own team is God's gift.
There you go.
And so we need to understand that that's our portion.
according to his glorious power, and to all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us clean to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life.
So, what's my attitude in the morning?
Do I implore my God?
Yeah, walk over to the Lord. Seek to please the Lord. To honor Him. Notice it says being fruitful in every good way. So we're called, Christ calls us to be His ambassadors. We're called to be, do the work of evangelists. Does that mean that in order to be obedient to God, we need to be the evangelists that are being men of our work? No, not hired by the employer to serve them with evangelism, hired by the Lord to do evangelism. But that doesn't mean that I have to, that's my job while I'm
doing this. You are by your example.
By my example, I can be. I mean, if I was watching somebody and they never did their job, but I had to cover for them because they're off telling everybody about the Lord and how they need much to be Jesus, what am I going to think about that person?
Absolutely.
Why would I want to be a Christian if all they do is hang around all day and not do the job they're hired to do? So here are some other things that he tells us. He says, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. You ever had a job that you just didn't like doing? Somehow we need to find a way to deal with joyfulness. Look at it as, since I'm serving the Lord, this is His call for me. So rejoice in what the Lord is doing. And it can be tough. I know in the type of work I do for Cisco, it's cyclical in nature. There are days where you just cannot turn up hours in a day what needs to be done that. And there are other days like, yeah, I am so bored out of my mind, I can't even think. And even in those down times, you need to be a little boy and figure out how to work between the Lord. He's also been given the thanks to the Father. And he's giving him thanks for the reality of the job. Right now, I'm going to Cisco once a week, and sometimes I get up on Tuesday once and say, I'm not back in Cisco once. It reminds me, rejoice, yep, so. And in this time, that's great. So, to give thanks, so I'm not thankful. Colossians 3:22-24.
Not with thy service as messenger, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, you are heartily to the Lord, and not to Him. Knowing that as the Lord, you shall receive the reward of the earth, and you serve the Lord of Christ.
So what's the attitude that you should have? You're working for the Lord, and look at it as your company that you work for is subcontracting your services. So look at what he says, whatever you do, do it heartily. What does it mean to do it heartily? With all your heart. Do the best that you can. Now, in this culture, according to what Paul is writing here, who is he talking to? He's talking to people who are servants, who are bond slaves. Okay. Do you consider yourself a servant in your company?
Yeah.
You serve, and so you consider yourself a servant. I work with people who their manager would ask them, okay, can we go do this? I'm sorry. We have a, because my work is cyclical, and, you know, one project's wrapping down, another starting to ramp up, it's common for the managers to go around and ask everybody, what would you like to work on next time? There's nothing wrong with that. I just say, what do you want me to do? Because I don't care whether I work on it. Under RSU, or analog device, or manual controller, or scheduler, or whatever. Tell me which one it is.
Universal cry out there is, someone is asked to do something other than what he normally does, is,
Someone else's job. Well, it's my job. I don't know what you want. And this is knowing that the Lord shows you the reward of inheritance. Again, we're working for the Lord, we're for His servants. Ephesians 6, 5 to 8.
Ephesians 6, 5 to 8. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men's leaders, but as the servants of God, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive the Lord, whether he be bond or free.
And so again, what's he got to
do? I guess whatever we do, we're doing to please the Lord. Not trying to pretend you're working.
Right. That's that phrase, not with eye service. So it looks like you're working. I'm just keeping busy, but actually work. And that can be tough sometimes. I know I've done preparing some work. I literally think I'm anything different. And it's tough to keep trying to find a way to be productive. And that's happening.
That's normal fare.
Yeah, there's an old joke, what's orange and sweet six? Caltrans truck.
What is orange and sweet six?
Not very nice, is it? But if you've ever seen some of these Caltrans workers out there, you got one guy on a steamroller and seven or eight standing around in your box. Well, no, you got one holding the sign, one or two holding the sign, one driving up and down on the steamroller, and then you've got five or six or so standing with their hands in their pockets. It's like, I don't get it.
What's your email address?
Questions at bbcmh.org. Oh, we know a lot of but again, it's doing the will of God from the heart. It's serving God. Being obedient to that. So that basically says if you're hired as an engineer and your boss comes up and says, can you throw out the garbage? What do you do? Throw out the garbage. If they want to pay me the money I make, throw out the garbage, fine, I'll throw out the garbage. It doesn't hurt me any. Go Philippians 2, 3, and 4.
Philippians 2, 3, and 4. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others.
How does that impact our attitude? How does that impact our attitude?
You serve others, make yourself useful.
And part of it here is it says, but every man also the things of others. Look on the needs of others. If you can figure out a way to improve the process of the work and save your your employer time, money, energy, whatever, do it. Because you're working on their benefit. It may be a little bit more work on your end, but the end of it is your benefit of another. Providing for them. Okay. Esteeming others better than yourselves. So part of that factors into if, you know, there's a promotion in the area and you apply for the promotion, someone else applies for the promotion, how do you esteem another better than yourselves in this case? I could be taught, can't I? If you want that promotion, it's really easy to do what kind of things.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, because you can undercut someone else, but to lift up the other person and communicate to others, this guy would be great. Joe would be great for this position. He's got these qualities that, you know, I'm going to be a blessing for them. I'd be grateful. Lift them up. Okay? Because the reality is, if God wants you to have that position, what's going to happen?
You'll
have that position. So as a Christian, we don't have to worry about promotions and advancements and things like that. I've been told a couple of times that I'm basically at the top of my pay grade and I just can't, without a promotion, which is hard to do with that way from home, right? Just not going to make much more money. But guess what happens? I've gotten two raises without promotion. You commit your ways to God, and God deal with the issues. It's the next position for me would be when I work from home 4 days a week, it's hard to get tech lead.
You're going to all these other positions too.
Right, which is fine. To me, it's a legitimate trade-off. Right? But I'm not worried about it. The Lord's going to do what he's going to do.
People.
Okay, now, when working, what role does my relationship with Jesus Christ play? Take a look at Matthew 6:33.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
So, how does that impact when I'm at work? What kind of ramifications can that have?
When you're at work? I think the idea there is just, there are things when you're working probably that you're worried about, problems coming up, maybe what's going to happen tomorrow, and you're worried about those things. And in the end, if you look back, they weren't that big a deal anyway.
Okay.
So, the present day is not probably what I'm worried about.
So, because I'm not calling to look forward to what's coming up today, I don't have necessarily been over in front of what's going on. What else? One of the common things for Christians to do is leave Jesus at home. And go off to work and leave Jesus at home. And so if the boss wants you to fudge the books a little bit because it'll make the company look better, yeah, fine, but you're wrong. I'm his servant, and so do what he wants me to do. And there's also the thought for a lot of people of, I just got to make sure that I provide for my family, so if that means I'm working 17, 18 hours a day, then I work 17, 18 hours a day. 7 days a week. That's what my employer needs, and that's what I do. So this type of verse will help counteract that. Seek first the kingdom of God. Is the work that I'm doing infringing upon my ability to actually truly serve Christ and seek out his kingdom? to do his will. So it helps us to keep in mind what he can do by us, to be like Christ. And so keep those things in balance of work and home issues. Now, this can lead, as I mentioned, to some people saying, well, if I'm seeking first the kingdom of God, then for me to be ministering to people at work while I'm at work and presenting the gospel to them and serving them in that manner is seeking first the kingdom of God. But we have to understand that seeking first the kingdom of God doesn't mean you're in 24/7 professional ministerial work. Right? But it's also manifests itself in actually working. Go to James 4, 13 to 17.
James 4, 13 to 17. Though to now you that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeared for a little time, and then vanished away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your own boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin.
So there's a lot of things we can learn from these verses that apply to our work life and our relationship to Christ. What are some ideas that come to mind?
Presuming that we're going to be here tomorrow to do this and that, and we're planning, be somewhat presumptuous enough to come back and consider certain work.
So, if we take it to the extreme, we would say, why bother planning for tomorrow? Because we don't know if we'll be here. Right? And so, while we need to plan, we also need to be able to understand enough that our plans can and will change. Right? Because if the Lord changes your plans, do you stick to your plan? You should go in the way that the Lord is leading you. God has changed the plans, and while we need to follow the Lord's plan, not ours. Look at verse 14, where as you know not what shall be of the morrow, for what is your life that is even a vapor? If we're here for such a little bit of time, what does that impact how we work?
Be standing in front of the judgment seat. I guess the things that tell the Lord.
To have a good reputation among men. Also a good reputation among your family.
And you're going to fall in love with your job, too, or something that's all consuming you if you're not here that long. I mean, I know what you're talking earlier, you can do, you need to work hard, working for the Lord, and at the same time, I think they reference it really, not just 15 hours a day, or something, but you're not here for long.
What's the closest treasure that we have? What's some of the most precious treasure that we have? Amongst people.
Oh.
Our family.
I was thinking about those two funerals. How suddenly you're gone. You work for and struggle for. Done so much of. God doesn't take an account of that.
It's a vapor.
When Romney was talking about Romulo, he was talking about how there's a bunch of little projects that are sort of kind of left undone yet, because we just didn't get around to it.
Yeah.
And so, doing what we can to get the projects that we have done, completed, but at the same time understanding there are sometimes things that are more important than the projects. Things that we have on our list today. And so, commit our ways to God. And let him be our leader and our guide.
And it's also if you see an opportunity to do someone good.
Yeah. 1 Peter 4, 1 to 5.
1 Peter 4, verses 1 to 5. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time cast of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walk in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Wherein they that think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you, and shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead.
So how might this impact our working life and what we do with those who work with?
Okay, what about this?
So there's living our life to the will of God. And so... And so, folks should be living our lives in obedience to God, not living our lives accordance with those that we work with. Look at verse 4, where they think it's strange that you run not with them in the same excessive life. Okay. Is our life lived to be pleasing to them? As opposed to pleasing to God.
They didn't give you that.
They didn't give us that. But it can be real easy getting caught up.
Yeah. Peer pressure, the thing to do is something that you get that, you get along.
I think it's rather sad commentary that the Cisco business code of conduct that they ship out every year for us to sign has amongst those things that you don't hang out with, you don't take your clients to these girly bars. Like, why would you even need to say that? Obviously, people think that's okay. Right? But it's just like, no, that's intrinsically wrong. And to go to those would be intrinsically wrong, but people do those things. And they think it's okay. It's like, you know, I'm not doing that. Because God doesn't want me to do that. They'll think you're nuts. Come on, then. Companies can't afford to even go to this thing. No, thanks. In the news has been stuff about some of the Secret Service agents out in South America spending tons of money on prostitutes. Excuse me. No thanks. When my dad was in the military, a lot of times they would go to shore leave, and a lot of the guys would get together and let's go up to some of these strip clubs. It's like my dad saying, no thanks. Not interested. Because that's not of God. And so it's being willing to do those things. And for people to be willing, for you willing to accept people speaking evil of you because you refuse to do ungodly things. And that's acceptable. That's a good thing. For you to have the name of Goody Two Shoes because you won't go to some of the drivers that they go to, I think it's awful. Let's go to Romans 2. 23 and 24.
Thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorous. Thou God, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles for you, as it is written.
Now, how does that impact our work life?
See what we're doing?
Okay.
The way we deal with people, the reflection on how we serve God, and people will, if you're being dishonest, they're being short-tempered, they may not take it off. We do say bad about God. Okay, this guy says he's a Christian, but he doesn't understand the answer. And this is, I guess, the context here. And, you know, can't tie to being a Jew saying you don't do such and such because they're doing all these evil things and you're blaspheming.
We are always representatives of that, no matter what we do. And no matter what we do, we're always ambassadors, we're always his representatives. People are going to look at you in order to get a reflection of who you believe God is. The question is, are your actions resulting in people denigrating the name of God? In blaspheming the name of God, and basically saying God is worthless, he's powerless, he's perverse. Now, there are things that people will say, God is perverse because of this. And it's like, no, God's not perverse because of that. For example, people will say that God is perverse because he ordered the eradication of the Amalekites, men, women, and children. So is God perverse because he had children killed? No. The perversity of that nation because of fallen man is so huge, so large.
God creator, he's all good where he does good.
Right, but our mindset as fallen human beings takes a look at that and says that's just moral reprehensible to kill children. Innocent children. We grow up in mindsets that say children are innocent. Just are, right? But God's word disagrees with that. There is none righteous, not one. A child, a 3-month-old child, is not innocent. He's not righteous. And so, go ahead and take a look at our work and say, are we opening the door for people to blaspheme God and then to talk boldly about who God is? Because of our conduct. So we need to be sure about that, be careful of that. Acts 4:19.
But Peter and John answered, said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto me more than unto God, judge you.
So we have read that we are servants of our employer. We're to obey them. Or, you know, what they ask us to do, basically do it. Is that beyond without limits?
This is the trump card here. And he says that the Hebrew were trying to command. Peter and John, it's not this, not the preach. We obey God.
Right. So if, let's say you're an accountant, and your boss comes to you and says, I've got this account here, and we just want to hide this money. It's $150,000. We just want to get it. Just to kind of pretend it never occurred, and just balance, make the sheets balance, because despite that, what do you do?
You know, I tell them not to steal, that's what I'm there for, all the witness. Can't do it.
Sorry, your boss can't do it. In the medical arena, your boss tells you, or your teacher tells you, you know what, in order to get your degree, in order to get this job, you must do abortions.
Yeah, so you get pushing that, right?
That absolutely.
That's what the hobby lobby, I mean, they're kind of saying you have to buy drugs that, you know.
The baggage. You know. What do you do? Don't do it. But that will be the worst of what. As a pastor, you've got, in order to, you know, be accepted under, you know, the 501c3, whatever, and then, you know, tax stuff, you've got to be willing, able, and actually perform same-sex marriages. And what do you do? I don't think so. I can't do that. God won't allow me. But it will mean loss of this, and this. And that's what it means. I cannot deny my word. There are some things that a boss may ask you to do that the answer, appropriate answer, is I cannot do it with all the conscience. I think I mentioned before, sorry, I had a manager once who went before his managers and told them that everything was looking good, everything was fine. And they go, wait a second, the project is 4 months behind schedule. How can you tell them everything is fine? And he told me, I'm not lying, it's survival. Because we just don't know the full ramifications of the changes. Tell them the truth. We know know we've got a slip. We're looking, investigating the cause of the slippage, the extent of the slippage, but this is where it is. You don't just go in there and say, yeah, everything's fine. You don't know everything's falling apart. We've got to be honest with people. We've got to reach out to Christ. And if your manager wants you to lie, cheat, deceive, steal, whatever, you have to know. So the way that we be a godly employee is...
What do you think of the manager then, you know?
Absolutely. When you take a look at the manager, he's telling you these things and communicating these things, okay, what are you lying to me about? Right? What are you not telling me that I might need to know? I can't trust anything you're saying because you're in survival mode rather than honesty mode. You're willing to lie, cheat, or deceive whatever it takes in order to accomplish what you think is right, but what God thinks. Have you seen the movie Courageous?
Yeah, we will.
Okay, well, we've got a copy if you want to borrow it.
We do too. That'll get your.
I know.
Oh, this is the one from the firefighters?
It's for the same group that did the fire proof. It was the police officers. And one of the accounts of stories that's going on in there is this guy gets a job at, I think it was a string factory or yarn factory. And anyway, so they've got a position for a management type position and a night shift role. And he says, here's the thing that we want. There's 25 cases coming in. We want you to mark down that there's actually 24 coming in. Right? And so it's all okay. We're your boss. We're telling you. Only count 24. You know there's 25. But the official count is 24. And he's left over. And the doctor came back and says, I can't do that. If there's 25 come in, I much like 25. So he figures it was his job over this. What he says is, congratulations, we've interviewed 10 people for this task. You're the first one to do what was right, what was honest.
And the premise was that guy really needed a job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He was being interviewed.
Yeah. And so we've got to do what's right, regardless of the consequences. What reflects the character of the workplace. Any other questions, comments? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace and for your spirit. And pray, Lord, that as we work with others in this world, that we would be a continuous and constant reflection of your presence, that people would see in us the presence of Almighty God, to know that we are your servants and your ministers first, and that we would be diligent in our work. We would serve our employer with a heart of grace and a heart of truth and glory unto you. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for your word.